Chapter 10. Jordan received Max's text after 2:30 a.m. Max couldn't come up with anything more to help him figure out if Ray was lying and had more to do with the shooting than he said to her in the alley at Freddy's Lounge. In the corner of Jordan's living room, his top-of-the-line computer was neatly set up on a small wooden desk that matched the rest of the mission-style decor. Jordan created a folder named Ari, into which he dragged the audio file from Max's portable drive. Then he opened his email from Ty's address, which he sent himself while sitting at Ty's desk. He saved the two vodka label images to another folder he named Ty. Jordan clicked open both of the images and made them fit one above the other on his screen. He stared while swigging from his cold glass of peppermint and lavender iced tea. The apartment was eerily quiet. Ty hadn't seen him dump both image files into the email. Jordan was smart enough to click over to the sent messages bin and hard delete it so it wouldn't merely sit in the trash of Ty's email. His eyes studied the label designs much the way a student would have at Da Vinci's masterpieces. It took 30 minutes until a mark stood out. Inside the mock university seal that gave the bachelor's vodka label the look of an undergraduate certificate, Jordan saw that one of the images had a building with six Corinthian columns, but the second image had only four. Why would there be two separate images? Were these merely choices for Ty to pick one as the final, or did they mean something more? Finding the slight difference in the art reminded Jordan about all the steganography and art throughout history. Many were the trumped-up imaginations of conspiracy hunters, but others were authentic codes. Jordan breathed while thoughts spun like tornadoes in his mind, each thought funnel bouncing off the others if they came too close together. Murder, Ari, vodka, Ty, drugs, Ray. He hadn't realized his breath grew more shallow. He had a different awareness, his gut instinct kicking in, telling him that the art meant something. He needed to clear his head. The tension in his shoulders was cutting into him, and the eye strain from staring at the monitor told him he needed to look away for a while. He got up to stretch his legs and arms, which hadn't been physically worked since his birthday party, the night Ari was killed. Something inside told him that the good thing to do would be to go out for a walk, hit the gym, or do some yoga there in the apartment. He knew any of those things would be good for him. He knew if it had been him that died and Ari lived, that Ari would have turned to damaging habits of booze and pills. He didn't want to turn into Ari, that was for sure. He also felt too many emotions at once to go out to the world and deal with more people. Getting through the memorial and the funeral sapped his energy. Jordan needed some solitude and peace, but he needed to solve the puzzle first. The window blinds hadn't been closed the previous day, so the glass showed a black abyss beckoning him to walk through. 30 minutes earlier, the last lights on in the building next door went out, leaving his view with an overwhelming sense of isolation, regardless of the thousands of people nearby. It wasn't unusual for him to stay up all hours. He usually got a little bit of sleep, then would make Ari's coffee and go right back to bed for a little while. He didn't know if it was his age catching up with him or the exhaustion of the past 2 weeks taking its toll. He felt the weight of being tired but didn't want to give up yet. Jordan planted his feet in the rough carpet and did a forward bend, trying to release his tight lower back. It felt good. He moved into the downward dog yoga position and pushed through his hands until he could feel his shoulders loosen into the action. His heart rate increased. His face felt warmer with the blood rushing to it. His heels weren't quite at the floor, so he pushed through them harder until they reached. He knew his breath was too shallow, but one thing at a time was all he could do. Get into the pose, then breathe, then check if the pose was lost, and repeat. It felt like a long time, but it was only a minute when he moved down to all fours and then into child's pose. That's when tears were free to flow. His body let go and allowed him a few seconds of catharsis. When he sat up on his knees, he still wasn't ready to get back to the mystery of Ty's vodka labels or the security footage. He switched gears and opened Ari's laptop. Part of him felt that he was being invasive, but the other part felt it was the responsible thing to do. If there were mountains of messages in the email and social media, someone needed to take the time to reply to them. That someone had to be him. Jordan refilled his iced tea while the machine booted up. The laptop's sluggish operating system actually reminded him of Ari. Not fast, not the best thing on the market, but fairly stable and reliable. Ari's inbox was indeed filled with over 500 messages. His employer's IT department hadn't disabled his account yet. Jordan scrolled through without too much perception regarding the subject lines. There were lots of meeting invitations and large group conversations. He began activating the out-of-office feature so that he could have a message returned to senders explaining that people should try contacting a different employee. After some thought, he was afraid that it would be construed as tampering or hacking the financial company's servers, so he backed out of the screen. His eyes noticed a pattern in the subject lines of the emails. Although many of them were codes, probably account numbers, there were others that spelled things out. R.E. Wyclef Silver Spirits Company, M.A. and W.S.S. M.A. appeared the most in the subject lines from the dates before R.E.'s death. It wasn't Alan Turing-style code-breaking to figure out that M.A. meant mergers and acquisitions. Jordan wasn't familiar with the company name Wyclef Silver Spirits. It intrigued him enough to look it up on the internet. He read that Wyclef Silver was the founder of a distillery in Tennessee that specialized in bourbon and whiskeys. The history was one of pure Americana. A lower middle-class man with ambition and gumption started a small business in his barn. He and his family managed to hide from the prohibition authorities by building secret tunnels and having clever ways of disguising what was in their bottles labeled Silver's Healing Tonic. Wyclef Silver had been written off as a snake oil salesman when he was actually a bootlegger. The company grew into one of the largest distilleries in the eastern half of the United States. Wyclef ran as much as he could on his own, but eventually he realized that he could do a lot less work in his old age if he passed the reins to his grandson Boyd. Boyd took the steps his grandfather feared by taking the company public and making stock options available. They made more money than imaginable in the IPO, but Grandpa Silver felt betrayed that a board of total strangers would now be in charge of the great company he built. For 30 years, Wyclef resented Boyd, and at one drunken soiree, Wyclef took an antique pistol from his firearms display and shot his own grandson. Wyclef didn't live to see trial. Boyd could have survived if anyone had tended to him in a timely fashion, but because of the party, no one even knew he had been shot. The board named an outsider as the next CEO of the company. Boyd's widow went on to write a best-selling memoir, but chose to live quietly on the family fortune without attempting to get involved in the business. Another heir, Boyd's youngest brother Henry, didn't go quite as quietly. Instead, Henry formed a new company of franchised country western bars and small barrel craft spirits. The articles Jordan found focused on only the Silver heirs, since they were part of the business. The distraction was probably good for him. He wasn't thinking about his loneliness. Instead, he felt a new fascination in the Southern Empire created in a barn. It had been a while since he sat down and read a good book, so this sparked a curiosity he could appreciate about himself.